Luke chapter 2, verse 29 through 30. Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation." Jesus is 40 days old in our gospel story today. He's just a baby. And Mary and Joseph bring him to the temple to do what was according to the custom of the law. It's called the rite of purification. They brought him to fulfill the law of God. It's a law prescribed all the way back in the book of Leviticus chapter 12. Here it is. "If a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days. And on the 8th day, the boy shall be circumcised, and the woman shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are completed. And when the days of her purifying are over, 40 days, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb, a year old, for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. And the priest shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. Then she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, either a male or female. But if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and then she shall be clean." Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph bring the 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons because they couldn't afford the customary sacrifice of a lamb. They were of humble means. Jesus, after all, was born of humble estate. Born in the manger, no lamb or wealth in the family, and they come to the Lord's house to fulfill the law of God. The trip has one primary purpose: to bring Jesus to fulfill the law of God. But there's another man in the temple that day with a different purpose. We're introduced to him as a man named Simeon. Simeon, we're told, is devout and he's righteous. And he's waiting. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Spirit was upon him and Simeon longed for the consolation of Israel. He longed to see the salvation of the Lord. He longed for the day when God would reveal his light to the Gentiles and reveal his glory to all his people Israel. Simeon doesn't spend his days longing for earthly things. Didn't care about the clothes that he wore, how his investments were faring. He wasn't preoccupied with his dreams of power or success. And he wasn't distracted by material possessions. You won't find Simeon waiting for anything other than the Lord. He was devout. And Simeon is waiting for the consolation of Israel and the salvation of God's people. So Simeon comes in the Spirit that day into the temple, into God's house, the same day that Jesus' parents just so happened to be bringing their 40-day-old baby boy to do what is according to the custom of the law, Luke tells us. And when Simeon saw Jesus, he immediately took him up into his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my own eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." It was the moment that Simeon had been waiting for. The moment Simeon had longed for. The salvation of God had come. The very consolation of Israel was placed into his hands. But to mostly everyone else, it was just a 40-day-old baby. Just another firstborn to consecrate to the Lord, Simeon. It's nothing more than just a baby. But not to Simeon. To Simeon, it wasn't just a baby. It was the very salvation of God. He had eyes to see, and he longed for the things of God. And in that baby, he saw the salvation of God. He grabbed him in his arms, and he lifted it up, and he blessed God and said his beautiful song, and he departed there in peace. How many times do you think Simeon could have done that? Woke up every morning, coming to the temple, looking for the salvation of God, and it placed right into his hands and lifted him up and blessed God with a beautiful song and left there filled with God's peace. How many times do you think Simeon could have done that before it became rote? Think he could have done it every day for the rest of his life, coming to the temple and holding the very salvation of God, and it just mean just the same, have all the luster as the first time? Or what if he only once a week? Would it mean just as much? What if it was twice a month? You see where I'm going. We sing Simeon's song right after receiving the supper. A church has sung the song of Simeon, the Nunc Dimittis, for 1900 years after receiving the supper. Because when we come to the Lord's table, just like Simeon, we are taking into our arms, into our very mouths, the salvation of God, the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus, the same body and blood of Jesus that was born and laid in a manger and that was once held in Simeon's hands, that grew up and walked on water and fulfilled the law of God perfectly for you. The very body and blood of Jesus that was crucified to that cross and shed his blood to forgive us for all of our sins, laid in a tomb and raised from the dead, now is placed into my hands and into my mouth. And just like Simeon, we respond by singing a song. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my own eyes have seen your salvation. We've tasted his salvation in the supper. We've beheld his glory. And we depart from this table filled with God's peace. The Lord's Supper is the moment that Christians long for. It's our Simeon moment. When we see the very consolation of Israel and the salvation of God that we have been waiting for placed into our hands, Jesus himself coming to each of us individually, personally, to mostly everyone else, it's just a piece of bread, just some sip of wine, nothing more than just a symbol, Christian. But to you, who has been given eyes to see and who longs for the things of God, you see the very salvation of God, the very body and blood of your Savior according to his word. Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. John tells us in this gospel that Jesus said, my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Luther writes in our catechism that the Lord's Supper is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. According to Jesus' words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, shows us that in the supper, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given to us. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. You come and you receive Christ and you depart in peace. Take note in Luke's gospel how he describes people's eyes. Here in Luke chapter 2, verse 30, Simeon sings, my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon sees God's salvation. You know who else sees God's salvation in the Gospel of Luke? Infants. Luke chapter 10, Jesus prays, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them, brought them to light to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. In Luke 11, Jesus teaches us that the eye is the lamp of the body, and when your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light, but when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. In Luke's gospel, your eyes are either open or they're closed. They're either full of light, they're full of darkness, they're either healthy or they're bad. There is no mediocre, there's no dim, there's no half open. You either see the salvation of God or you remain in darkness. So the question that begs, the question that we beg is then how do I open my eyes to see the salvation of God? How do I make the supper just as special as it was the very first time I received it according to the Lord's institution? Well, in Luke's gospel, you don't. Jesus is the one who opens eyes. Jesus comes to you and he's placed into your arms, or he speaks his word. And he is the one who opens the eyes of people to see his salvation. Simeon sees God's salvation, infants see his salvation, and then there are two others. The last two characters that we're introduced to in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 24. These two blinded disciples who are stuck in darkness, they're walking on the road to a town called Emmaus. And lo and behold, the resurrected Jesus joins them on their talk. But Luke tells us that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So Jesus spends the whole journey, hours, walking with them, talking with them about the scriptures, pointing everything of the scriptures to his own death and resurrection. Now, I'm pretty sure that Jesus' evangelism would have been perfect. His interpretation, his reasoning, his exegesis of the text, it would have been flawless. And by the end of their trip, these two disciples would have had the perfect head knowledge. They would have understood the word perfectly because they had the perfect teacher. Yet, their eyes were kept from recognizing the Lord. Until, Luke says, Jesus went to the table with them. He took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus. How were their eyes opened? Luke tells us they told others that he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The breaking of the bread is how the apostles described the Lord's Supper. It is in the breaking of the bread where our Lord comes to us today. He comes to us in his supper to make himself known to you so that you would know that your sins are indeed forgiven, so that you would leave his table filled with the peace of the Lord, along with Simeon and along with your entire family, for the ones who have been given eyes to see and whose ears have been opened by the Holy Spirit and whose hearts have been set on the very word of God, you never grow tired of coming to his table and receiving the gifts that he has promised to give you in the supper. The very fact that you desire those gifts are because Jesus has already opened your eyes. People ask me sometimes, unfortunately even Christians, how can you believe that that's Jesus' true body and blood? My answer is always the same, because he said so, and I believe his word, even when my mind doesn't understand it all. Holy Communion, the breaking of the bread, is for those who long for God to touch their lives, who long for his forgiveness and salvation to come, who long for Jesus to be real, and who are waiting for the consolation of Israel and the salvation of God. It is for sinners like you and me, whose eyes have been opened solely by the grace of Jesus. So come to the table, taste and see that the Lord is good, and depart in his peace. Amen.